The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And I don't know why Robin's fooling around with the equipment, but I guess she is.
You are blowing me out of the water.
I'm blowing you out of the water. Well, that would be your microphone, your headset. So anyway, Chris, you were saying that we have a caller on the line that wants to ask a fishing question before we go to Eric. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's John.
Okay, let's talk to John. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's more of a fishing gear question. Fishing tackle was kind of over-temperatured, over-roasted in a fire.
Oh, that's not good.
No. It's an incredibly effective way of removing clutter, but I would not recommend it. The line on the rods, they were all in a vertical rack, and a lot of line all melted down towards the reels. The rods themselves, should I be condemning them, like the 30 pounds and that sort of thing? Because if that bends over, the fiberglass fracturing or something like that would be significant. You know, the light 8 and 12 pound, 15 pound rods. I think I'm going to wave them off, but the bigger ones, I mean, it's heartbreaking to give up a good rod and everything, but at the same time, I'm concerned about strength of fiberglass and with that kind of tension if it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Dispose of the compound bow because of,
The question is what?
Exactly. On the big, better rods.
Uh-huh.
How do you tell if they're good or not?
Oh man, are they fiberglass or are they
fiberglass?
They're fiberglass.
One of them may be some kind of carbon composite.
Yeah, the carbon I'd be the most worried about because that's, you know, that if that goes, you've got splintering and everything else. It's not a good thing. This fiberglass part would not be too terrible, I don't think, if it were to break. But, I guess just fish with them or take them out and do some casting and see how they perform and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know a way to test a rod for fire damage. I'd be more concerned about the carbon rod. Compound bow, was it actually?
I already disposed of it. I was afraid to even handle it because, it was strung under tension.
Yeah,
and it got roasted. That was, something bad there. But the reels, I think the good reels, the international. I think I'll put over international to put over to Chesapeake Outdoors.
You could do that or Clyde Sports Shop. Either one can help you out with fixing up the pen reels.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. Got a firearms joke for you. A man walked into a bar and said, "I've got my Colt 45 with one in the chamber and seven in the clip." And he's waving it around. He said, "Who's been messing with my wife?" And somebody says, "You need a couple more magazines."
Oh, that's bad.
That's a good one. All right, man. Well, I appreciate the call. Sorry about your fire. Sorry about your loss.
Yep.
And, you know.
I also learned another thing. All this thing, good stainless ware, they said it's good for a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
There's an asterisk with it, which means unless you burn it up.
Oh, okay. Well, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Hey, thanks for the call, John.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's talk to Eric Slokovich. Morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. We got a little bit of a situation with this with the virus. The building, the headquarters building for DNR is on elevated level 3, which means restricted access. So I'll probably be working from home for the next couple of weeks.
Who was I talking to? Oh, I know who I was talking to. I was talking to the deputy wildlife director the other day, and we had a question about something in the rule book. And I said, "How come you're still working there at the Puzzle Palace in Annapolis?" And she said, "I know, I don't know what's coming down." Well, apparently it came down because I know that the General Assembly, basically is closed to the public. They're still working in the building on trying to make our lives miserable with new laws and regulations or new laws and statutes and things like that. But but the public is restricted, and I'm guessing that's during testimony and everything else. I mean, what are they actually doing?
I'm not really sure what they're doing with hearings, because and the other problem is different parts of the state are getting sort of like slightly different instructions. So, but I just know that for us, they only have like emergency staff in the building pretty much.
Right. It's a big building there on Taylor.
Yes, Taylor Avenue, the Taws building. Yeah. So, but anyway, we're in an interesting time with Stripe S regulations. Did you want to start with the spring situation?
Yeah, let's start with spring and work our way through. I was under the impression that catch and release was not being permitted this year.
So all we have right now is for the month of March, we have sort of the status quo regulations, which are a holdover from last year. So right now, the Susquehanna Flats are actually open right now. But with the water temperatures still being kind of like in the mid-40s to high 40s, there might not be a lot of action, at least with artificial lures up there. But it is open, and we've been hearing that some fish have been caught in the lower Susquehanna River by some kayak fishermen, and I know that there are some light tackle guides that are trying it. We also heard reports that a few stripers may have been caught by people fishing for catfish further up the river. But anyway, it is open now. However, it does, the big change comes on April 1st. On April 1st, all targeting for striped bass, including catch and release fishing, closes. So from April 1st until the end of April, yeah, it will be closed. Actually, on May 1st, the trophy season opens. So the trophy season is delayed this year, and it opens on May 1st.
By like 2 weeks, right?
Correct. Yeah, about 2 weeks. It usually opens on the third Saturday in April.
Right.
So it's delayed by about 2 weeks. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And the idea behind that was, since the big picture is that we had to reduce the catch or reduce fishing mortality by 18% across the board. So that was one of the cuts that we made, was to give some of the females, the cows, like a chance to go up and then spawn and then go back down river.
Right.
So,
right. So you're looking to prevent females from being taken out of the spawning process due to catch and release, because it's never ever, that to my knowledge, been shown what kind of damage that catch and release season can do to spawning females.
Right. So we Yeah, so this is a tough one. Like, you know, there's a lot of people upset in the Upper Bay community and the flats about not having that catch and release fishing season open. But they're, you know, generally we don't really know what happens to pre-spawn fish when they get caught and released. There is a possibility that it may disrupt, you know, their spawning behavior, and they do something called reabsorption, where they just reabsorb their eggs, and then they just return back down the bay without spawning. The mortality, as Rudy Lukakovic's study showed, is fairly low. It's quite low early in the month of April. However, as the water warms up towards late April, he did see the mortality rising, as the fish will get more stressed out towards the end of April.
And that's a lot to do with water temperature.
With the rising water temperature. So that's a factor. So generally, we, you know, made the decision to kind of take out any risk of affecting their spawning or having some, you know, more post-release mortality, and especially in the bigger fish, because when you catch them on light tackle, that's a much longer fight, and they will burn themselves out a bit. So we
sure
were trying to avoid that stress. Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, that's common sense. And people who like to fish for striped bass, and as upset as they might be, they've got to weigh it a little bit with what the future's all about. And you know, think about the conservation of the species. Think about, you know, long-term effects on what's going on, you know.
Right.
You can't get a fish on, you know, 10-pound test and fish it on it for, you know, 30-pound fish. Let's say you're fishing with 10, 15-pound tests. You can't hook that fish and fight it for 20 minutes, get it to the boat, take it out of the water for, you know, even 2 minutes to take a picture, make sure your smiling face is in the right spot, and, you know, and then release that fish back in the water. It just is not healthy for the fish. And I've said this ever since the catch and release season was instituted, and you know, I got folks in the Upper Bay that don't like what I say about it, but you know, I'd sooner err on the side of caution for the conservation of the species and the long term gain rather than, you know, a short term ego thing. You know what I mean? So
that's just me.
And that's my personal opinion. So
right. And we actually started taking that position that you have to really, when the fishery was open, we had a few guys actually got tickets for mishandling the fish and keeping them out of the water too long. You know, we closely monitor that area anywhere from the south end of the flats up to Lapidum and the Susquehanna River.
Right.
And some guys got tickets for holding the fish too long or passing it around to their buddies and taking 6 pictures of the same fish,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff
sure.
like that.
Sure.
So yeah, you gotta, you know, and when it does open again, which will be in May, you know, you gotta, if you are catch and release, you gotta get them back in the water right away. And we advise that you leave the fish in the water or just kind of cradle them alongside the boat and get your pictures really quickly and then release them as fast as possible.
That's right.
So that's the situation there.
I understand.
So
what kind of feedback are you getting on the 35 inch minimum size?
So that's a good question. You know, we're not getting so the 35 inch minimum is only for the trophy season, and that's from May 1 to May 15.
Right.
So, Alan, right now we're not getting a lot of feedback on that. That's just the trophy season is pretty short, So generally, it's not really a big deal right now.
Right.
We're getting a lot. We're getting a lot more comments on the summer options.
Well, you should be because the press release went out about the scoping regulation,
yeah.
And that is available till the middle of this coming week, March 18th.
March
correct?
18th. Yeah. Yeah. Comments are open until March 18th. Right. And if you go to the main DNR homepage, there is like on the front, there is a, there's like a couple of window panes on the front there. And one of them says, you know, comment here. And there is a comment form. And also you can always send comments to the, our fishery public comments, email address. So that's actually, for public comments, it's actually fisheriespubliccomment, all one word, .dnr@maryland.gov is the comment on the options.
Right.
Yeah, so, and should I run through the three options we're looking
I just got a text of a question. Okay, maybe you can help us with this.
Yeah.
So what can we conclude from water temperature and mortality? That's the question. At 60 degrees, how, you know, what percent survive? At 70 degrees, what percent survive? The fellow that texted me says, I'm an engineer and I need data to decide this.
Right.
I'm a catch and release guy, but in the summer, like in Long Island where he fishes for big giant stripers, we've always returned them, but if they're probably not going to live, I'd keep one. So he said, help him decide what to do.
Yeah. So, the overall average mortality that's used is 9%. That's the average is 9%. What I'll tell you is if you're fishing in water, let's say, 60 degrees or less, and I'm kind of using the flats as an example, but I also fished Montauk and Long Island Sound a lot when I was younger because I grew up there. But
So
60, if you're at about 60 degrees or less and you're hooking the fish in the lips, like, with a single hook, the mortality rate is only like 5% or less. In fact, we saw that the survival rate was up to like 98% with cold water and a you know, hooked in the jaw.
The fish aren't mishandled.
Right, as long
I'm always going to throw that in there.
Yeah. But. However, the mortality rate starts getting up over 10%, even if they're hooked in the jaw, when the water temperature starts getting above like 70, when you get up near 80 degree water temperature and air temperature is over 95 degrees, because air temperature makes a difference. When you pull them out of the water, extremely high air temperatures seems to add extra stress. You know, the mortality rate could be 50%. At that point,
wow.
Especially if they're mishandled, but it also makes a difference if they're hooked in the jaw or if they're deep hooked. If they are deep hooked, the mortality rate goes above 50%. And if you're bait fishing and you hit one of the organs, then the mortality rate is like almost 100%.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
So, so it varies. I would tell him, you know, if you're fishing in the spring.
You're telling
along
him.
The
He's
coast,
listening. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So is that sort of helpful? During the spring and fall season, if you're fishing along the coast, And you're using artificial lures, the mortality is low, like less than 10%.
Right.
But if you're fishing in the middle of the summer, you know, that mortality rate's gonna go up definitely.
Okay.
And the one way you can reduce the mortality is first of all, use circle hooks. Like if you're fishing live eels or live menhaden, which is real popular along the coast, you know, I would recommend circle hooks because you're more likely to hook them in the jaw, and you can do a quicker release.
No
question. All right. And a lot of the states are going to move in that direction with circle hooks too.
No question.
So,
and they need.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hang on there, Eric. We got to take a commercial break, and we'll get to the three options for the summer season when you get back, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Okay. It's Clyde Sports Shop's Let's Go Fishing 10-day sale. Well, it started like 8 days ago, so today and tomorrow are the last 2 days. Make sure you take those empty reel spools in to get them filled with premium monofilament for half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. And don't forget tackle for perch and trout is on sale. Shakespeare rods and reels are on sale, including the Ugly Stick. And, you know, Ugly Stick's come a long, long way from the beginning. There's some really, really cool Ugly Sticks out there that are available for all types of fishing. You might want to check that particular model and those particular models in that brand of Shakespeare out to, you know, add a couple to your fishing repertoire. Fluger rods and reels are on sale too. Fluger's been around a long, long time. They make beautiful stuff. The Fluger spinning reels, the President series are on sale. And then let's switch to Penn. Penn spinning reels are also on sale featuring the Battle 2 series. Kids fishing combos and fishing kits are on sale from $19.95 for trout, bass, catfish, panfish, and more. And if you want to troll in the late summer for Clark's for Spanish mackerel with the Clark spoons and the Sea Striker planers, all that stuff's on sale too. Check out the complete selection of St. Croix rods. And Clyde's has live and frozen bait, minnows, fishing licenses, rod and reel repairs, lures, hooks, lead weights. They're getting geared up for snakeheads too. They got the circle hooks for rockfish when that season comes in. Plenty of bucktails and umbrellas and parachutes for the trolling season. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They're open 7 days a week. And the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week fishing hotline, real simple to remember, 410-247-FISH. 410-247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop Fishing Hotline. And the 10-day sale winds up tomorrow, so get in there and take care of that. Bay Country Crabbing Supply. They're located in Edgewater. Crabbing season starts April 1st. Who knows with this warm water and the lack of cold weather during the spring, who knows what kind of crabbing is going to be out there, you know, when it starts. But you can check it out at Bay Country Crabbing Supply. They have everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing, too, freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing tackle. And now Bay Country Crabbing Supply is a new hunting room, complete with Hoyt and Matthews bows. Bay Country Crabbing Supply is located 214 Mayo Road, right there in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines and trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of fishing tackle and gear. Bay Country Crabbing Supplies open house is April 18th. For more information, give them a call, 410-956-0300. 410-956-0300. Hey, Waterman, bring your license for your discount. Visit the website baycountrycrabbingsupply.com. And we'll be right back after these messages. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. They're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot. Whistling like a fool.
So we're talking with Eric Slokovitz, the recreational fisheries outreach guy from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishing and Boating Services. We're talking about the upcoming striped bass season, and we reviewed the catch and release season on the flats that will close the end of April, and then April 1st, or the end of March, then April 1st through the end of April, no preseason trolling, no practice fishing, everything is closed. No targeting for striped bass on any of your fishing adventures. And then the only thing that comes back in as far as striped bass is concerned, on May 1st through the 15th, is one fish per person, 35-inch minimum size in the spring season. So then what happens, Eric?
Well, then you're right. Then we actually look at three different options for the summer. So okay. We're looking at one option is the default option that was recommended by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. So that would be one fish per person, 18 inches from May 16th until December 15th.
Okay.
So that's one option. We DNR didn't necessarily want to just be stuck with that one option. So we came up with option two.
Wait a minute. There's another part of option one that you didn't mention. You said 18 inch minimum size, one fish, but the boat fish for the captain and the mate would be eliminated.
Right. Yeah, actually that's correct. Yeah. Let's see. That's right.
That's option
right.
one.
Yeah, the one boat fish for charter it would be eliminated. It looks like no matter which way we go, we're definitely eliminating the boat fish, and we had some meetings with the Charter Boat Association and they seem to be fine with that because we have to make some cuts, and that was one of the first things I got cut, pretty much. So, right.
Okay.
Thanks for that reminder. Right. So, option two is what we called is our conservation equivalency, which is sort of our proposed regulation, which is supposed to basically have like a similar effect with making cuts, and it would have a 19-inch minimum size with one fish per person. But it would also have a summer closure from August 16th until August 31st, so a late summer closure. Yeah, no boat fish for the charters, and then an optional program for the charter captains. So they would be able to keep two fish per client, but they would have to sign up for the mandatory online reporting. So they would have to report, you know, with a tablet or a cell phone every day on their catch and turn in data on their catch to get the two fish. And in that option, the season ends a little bit earlier on December 10th.
Okay.
That's option two.
All right.
And the third option is one that we just added, which is pretty much the same thing, one fish per person, a 19-inch minimum size, but we're you know, the charter boats could get two fish if they do the mandatory electronic reporting. But we're giving people an option to specify the closure period in their public comments. So they can say they can recommend a closure period. It just can't begin before July 16th or end after August 31st. So it has to be somewhere.
So you're talking about closure during the middle of summer during the vacation season when we get out of state visitors to come fish for striped bass.
Right. So I think I know that's a big one. So to kind of minimize the damage in terms of tourism and the socioeconomics, you know, minimize damage to the charter fleet and tourism, we advise the late summer closure, where, you know, starting on August 16th, because historically, a lot of kids started going back to school then, and even now with many schools opening later, I'm told that some schools are going to start going back to an August opening. That they may have that choice. So the idea was to try to have the July fishing open, especially around the 4th of July.
But then
close it late summer. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're trying to minimize stress on the fish because we found that, you know, in the months of July and August, when the water temperatures get up near 80, you know, there is a high mortality rate, especially with bait fishing.
Yeah.
So we're trying to take some stress off the population. It's tough. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tackle shops and charter boats and waterfront restaurants and marinas, you know, where rockfish is the number one fish, you know, it's like
bread
and butter fish. Yeah. So, but that's what we're looking at. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, again, the comment period is open until the end of the day on March 18th.
Right. So go to the homepage of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and there's a comment form on the homepage.
On the homepage, correct. It's dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Fisheries, yeah.
Or if you just put in your search engine, you know, Maryland DNR Fisheries homepage, it'll come up. And on there is the comment. Box is on there.
Any idea how many comments you've got so far?
Yeah, a lot. I know I know that we had
a lot.
We had about 150 comments on the first night it was open, which is kind of a new record for us.
Yep.
And I know that we had about 700 comments by midweek, and we were projecting to have probably close to 1,000 comments by today.
Well,
and yeah, so
let's try to motivate let's try to motivate our self-quarantined listeners out there to go to the fisheries homepage on their computer and actually read the proposals, read option one, option two, and option three, and make your comments to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishing and Boating Service, and then Eric gets to read all those out loud at a group meeting. And
yeah, 1,000 comments.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? We're gonna need some medication or some strong drinks to get through that, though. But yeah. also, in addition to the comment form, you can always email comments. I always tell people written comments are a lot better than just putting a comment on social media or
absolutely.
Or yelling at me at a fishing club meeting.
That didn't happen, did it?
So
has that happened?
Well, I get it. I mean,
really?
I haven't had a guy.
Don't really kill a messenger,
yell at me,
right?
But, I mean, I've had some pretty fired up people over the years.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
I mean, well, a lot of my fishing club meetings are in like VFW halls where the guys already had a few.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get that.
It's interesting. The email comment is fisheriespubliccomment@dnr.maryland.gov. fisheriespubliccomment@dnr.maryland.gov. Yeah.
Right.
It's, you know, this feels a little bit like that town hall meeting in Jaws, you know, when the mayor is trying to keep the beaches open, but the chief wants to close the beaches.
Well,
in the back of the room with the blackboard. Yeah.
isn't it true that you have to respond to each one of those comments?
That's a good question. We generally, in terms of courtesy, we generally just respond to say that we received the comment.
Right.
But when you get 1,000 comments, we may not be able to provide a very detailed response.
Our one of our listeners is a deals with public comments in his job, and he said comments are real fun. By law, the rule writer has to address each one. I know what that's like. Not just read, but respond. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Generic response is going to cut it with some of these folks. So,
right. You know. It kind of depends. You know, we try to respond to each one, and if they have additional questions, we try to answer all their questions. And a lot of this stuff is going into our legislative regulation staff, which is like roughly like, well, 3 or 4 folks really in that arena.
Right.
But the biologists also assist with answering some of the questions. Right.
Well, if you get a comment, if you get a comment that says like, you guys suck. I mean, thank you for your comment. But if you get a reasonable question, well, you know, would you consider this or would you think about that? Then you kind of got to respond because knowing Maryland and dealing with, you know, particular wildlife, over the years, they do indeed take into consideration the public comments, when they offer up a proposal or something like that. So, I understand it, you know?
Right. So. So we're getting a lot of comments on the summer fishery.
Good.
One thing, which is good, because you know it's been getting it's been getting publicized in some of the local fishing publications and websites and newspapers and stuff. One thing that is continuing from last year is we are doing circle hooks again for live lining and chumming. So that's going to be in effect, you know, for the whole summer. We don't mandate a size, but just in terms of education, we're trying to get people to use a larger size circle hook, like go up to a 7, 8, or 9. A 7 is kind of a minimum size, really, because we're finding too many people are using these tiny 3, 4, and 5-aught circle hooks.
Right.
And they just have no gap. They have a very small gap. And when you put them in a live spot, the fish kind of sucks down the live spot, and those little hooks get lodged down below the gills, or they get gut hooked with those little circle hooks, and they don't work correctly. So we're telling people to go up to like a 7, 8, or 9, which has a larger gap, and will hook the fish in the corner of the mouth. And,
right.
You know, you're using a big bait, and even a 19-inch rockfish has a pretty good-sized mouth. So you can go to a larger hook. You don't need these really small hooks.
I fish for smallmouth in the spring. And, you know, when I was a kid, we used like a number 4 hook for smallmouth. You know, not a 4-aught, but a number 4. Now we're using we're using in these plastic baits. We're using 4-aught, 5-aught hooks, you know, in these plastic baits and hooking, you know, just, it's not that the hook's too big. It's just, you know, that it makes a better hook set, no question. So
yeah, better hook set. Yeah.
And they don't swallow the bait, you know.
So. Right, exactly. And if you look at the some of these new jig head companies in the bay. You know, for guys that are using like the Bass Assassins and the BKDs, they're using a bigger hook now. It looks like to me, you know, some of these things are like, you know, 6, 7-aught hooks, big, pretty big or even bigger. And especially for the guys that are targeting the larger rockfish when they're jigging. So they're using
right.
a bigger, stronger hook and it does have a bigger, gap and a better hook set. And I've lost some decent-sized fish, I think, like using live eels and you know, chunk baits when I think because my hook was too small.
Too small,
and I
yeah.
just didn't have enough of a bite or a gap to it.
Gotcha.
And I hook them momentarily and then drop them after about, you know, 5 or 6 seconds, you know,
yeah.
a couple of head shakes and they're off, you know,
gotcha.
And that's really frustrating. So I think these bigger hooks are actually more effective, and they're more likely to hook the fish in the corner of the jaw, which is where you want to hook them, you know?
No question.
So, yeah, and also, remember, these newer hooks are also super sharp. We give away an Eagle Claw hook as a demo at the fishing shows. We have a
yeah.
in-line. Yeah, remember, they have to be in-line, which just means they lay flat on a table.
Right.
No sideways bend. They have to be in-line and... You know, we've got these super sharp newer hooks. All the new companies, they're either chemically sharpened or laser sharpened.
Right.
And they're much sharper than the circle hooks that were made 10, 15 years ago.
No question.
So that's another good thing.
That's an option.
And
yeah.
also, when I'm fishing artificial lures, I always carry a hook file with me. And after catching a few fish or getting snagged on the bottom, you know,
yep.
or the hook will get dulled down, and I'll constantly be sharpening my hook.
Correct.
To get a better hook set. Right. So,
yep. Hey, Eric, we got to take a break.
So yeah. Okay.
When we come back, give us a little review, and we'll move on to the Garden Club with Alan Summers coming up after we do. You know. There's a way to keep your garden from getting stolen, and that's use the Garden Club. So let's talk about the Maryland Sportsman Show. The Maryland Sportsman Show has been postponed. It was originally scheduled for March 28th and 29th at the Howard County Fairgrounds, and there was plenty of stuff there to see. Lots of folks were looking forward to it, and I know some folks that were going to be exhibiting there. But because of circumstances beyond everybody's control, The Maryland Sportsman Show has been postponed. It looks like it's going to be mid-July, but we'll keep you apprised on that situation. So visit mdsportsmanshow.com for more information, and you'll see, you know, when it's, you know, just keep watching that, and you'll see when the new dates have been confirmed. That's the MD Sportsman Show has been postponed. But what hasn't been postponed is Clyde Sports Shop 10-day sale. Wraps up this weekend. You know, if you're tired of sitting around the house and you haven't been to work, you know, looking for something to do, you may as well go fishing. So you can save on premium monofilament line. You get it for half price. Just take your empty spools in and have them fill them up with premium monofilament. Starts at 1 cent per yard. and that's a great thing. Shakespeare, Fluger rods and reels are on sale, including the Ugly Stick. The Fluger President series, there's like 8 reels in the series. They're all on sale. The Penn spinning reels are also on sale, featuring the Battle 2 series. All trolling lures, for example, those that you would use for Spanish mackerel, like the Clark spoons and the Sea Striker planers, they're on sale too. Kids fishing combos and kids fishing kits, starting at $19.95. Trout, bass, catfish, panfish specific kits are all on sale. So why not stop by and see them for, you know, if you want to take the kids out fishing for sure. We got a email the other day from our buddy Ted. He said the Eastern Shore rivers are all fully nice big yellow perch, so get out there and get them. Let's check out their selection of St. Croix rods. And remember, Clyde Sport Shop has live and frozen bait, minnows, fishing licenses, and rod and reel repairs, and everything you need for fishing. 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. That's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Clyde Sport Shop. You want to find out where the fish are biting and what to use? Call the 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-FISH. That's the easy way to remember it. 410-247-3474 translates to 24/7 fish. And we'll be right back after Chris plays these commercial messages.
Well, the cold front that's clipping us, bringing some cloud cover across the state here for today, and cooler numbers this weekend. In fact, we sink down into the 30s for nighttime low temps for Sunday night ahead, and after such a warm finish to the work week. Temps this afternoon at 58 degrees. Sprinkle possible this afternoon, but there's not much on radar. Low tonight, 42 degrees. Morning clouds, afternoon sunshine Sunday, and a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, and more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How high is the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high is the water, papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past their knees. 3 feet high and rising.
All right, let's get back to Eric Slukovich. And we're talking about striped bass fishing in the spring and summer season and what's going on right now and the comment period open. And what else would you like to say there, buddy? Chris?
I like Eric. That song there. Was that Johnny Cash?
That was Johnny Cash. 3 feet
high.
Yeah,
yeah. What else? Just a few things to keep in mind going forward. You know, our biologists are going to be out tagging and releasing stripers starting in late March on the Potomac and then the Upper Bay, you know, through from you know, April into early May. So we start to get a sense on the numbers of fish that are coming up, you know, into the spawning areas. Another thing to look at is the juvenile index, you know. So we hope that we get a good spawn this year, but we don't start that until right after the 4th of July.
Right.
So we start looking for the young fry, you know, the young of the year stripers right after the 4th of July. And that survey goes all the way until September. And then in October, we put out the Young of the Year Index. So, you know, if you're interested in the conservation of the stripe, of striped bass, rockfish, and the future, you know, those are some things to be watching there.
That's exactly right.
I also generally, it looks like the last few years, the trophy season fishery has been pretty slow.
Yep.
So you know, I'm not gonna get too excited about that. I'll be cautiously optimistic, but the summer fishing has been pretty good. So
yep,
we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
All right, Eric. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. There's the music, which means we're about to bow out of here. So we appreciate you being here, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Eric. Thank you, buddy.